In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Well, I thank Father Matthew, and I thank all of you for the opportunity and the privilege to speak to you today. As many of you know, I recently experienced a frightening health scare, and there was a strong possibility that I was not going to make it. But thanks to God's grace and prayers from my family and countless friends, I stand before you today. You know, I believe I experienced a miracle. Even my doctor called me the miracle man. If there's any doubt in your hearts, I am living proof of the love of God and the faith of his people. I trust that I will be worthy of his mercy. As you might know, I always look for the overriding theme of the readings each week as I prepare to share them with you. And I think today's readings are very appropriate for this time of reflection and prayer on stewardship. As I said in my kickoff announcement a few weeks ago, God gives us everything, and we often forget that. Stewardship is how we say thank you. So from the reading from Isaiah 45 today, I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. I arm you, though you do not know me, so that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is no one besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form light and create darkness. I make weal and create woe. I, the Lord, do all these things. The Lord is speaking to Cyrus, the king of Persia. Cyrus was the founder of the largest empire that existed in the world up to that time. It went from Egypt in the west to Turkey in the north to the Indus River on the border of India in the east. And the Lord is saying, I do all these things. I make it possible for you to be king and to rule this vast empire, though you do not know me. And from Psalm 96, which is the song that David sings as he brings the ark to Jerusalem, sing to the Lord, bless his name, tell his salvation from day to day. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be revered above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come in to his courts. Say among the nations, the Lord is king. The world is firmly established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. This pattern in the psalm, I think, is really beautiful. It starts out with sing, which is praise the Lord. And then it goes to ascribe, which is honor the Lord. And finally, it ends with say, meaning spread the word. The Lord is king. He also speaks of gods and worthless idols. And in my research, I discovered that in Hebrew, the word for gods and worthless idols sound the same. So it could be interpreted this way if we use more modern vernacular. These mighty beings are mighty useless. So this psalm is one of my favorites, probably because of the repetition of many of the verses in the service over the years. But it really is so majestic and beautiful, and the words just cause my heart to soar. And this following passage here, I think, is truly amazing. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar, and all that fills it. Let the field exult, and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord. For he is coming. For he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his truth. Let the earth rejoice, the sea roar, the field exult, the trees shout for joy. Wow. Have you ever heard that? I think I have on occasion when I paid attention and was quiet in my surroundings. The Lord gives us everything, and it's beautiful. The Lord is coming on the last day to judge the world, all of it, including nature. And as Paul says in Romans chapter 8, "For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God." You know, when Adam sinned, the whole world was subjected to futility. But at the last day, creation will be free. It will be more beautiful, more productive, and easy than we can imagine. When all people receive God's rule and worship Him, all of creation will celebrate. And from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, "And you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for in spite of persecution, you received the word with joy, inspired by the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place your faith in God has become known, so that we have no need to speak about it." You know, in this letter, Paul is writing to the Christians at Thessalonica, and he mentions Silas and Timothy who are with him. And Paul believes that these Christians were among the chosen, and he praises them and their steadfast faith, and reaffirms that we all serve the one true and living God. And he also uses a common pattern in this letter, which he repeats elsewhere in other letters, that of faith, love, and hope. "Remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober and put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation." We also find this pattern in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. "Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to his grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us." And again in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, "And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, and the greatest of these is love." And you know, that particular verse and chapter was a favorite of Reggie White, famous of the Green Bay Packers. So have faith, love one another, and embrace the hope of salvation. And finally, from Matthew today, "Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. And then he said to them, "Whose head is this? And whose title?" And they answered, "The emperor's." And then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." You know, the Pharisees and the Herodians were on opposite sides of many issues of the day, but they joined forces to attack Jesus because they saw him as a threat to their power. They were trying to trick him into saying something that would break the law. The denarius had the image of Tiberius Caesar with the words "Son of the Divine Augustus" on one side, and the Roman goddess Pax, or Peace, with the words high priest on the other. Jesus is defining God's kingdom versus man's earthly government. He says some things belong to God and others belong to man. The government on earth is man's doing. Jesus says we should follow God's laws and follow these earthly or civil laws as well. Although he doesn't specify which matters belong in which realm. We must follow God's laws and apply his will to our lives as we understand it. One of the biggest heroes of World War I was Sergeant Alvin York. He was a devout Christian from Tennessee, and when he was drafted, he was troubled by the conflict between his Christian faith and the training he received for war. He spoke at length with his commanding officers, who were also devout Christians, and after much deliberation, decided that he was called to fight and that he would be safe. And this passage from Matthew chapter 22 is said to be one of the verses that convinced him to continue his training and enter the war. Subsequently, he captured 132 Germans and saved many lives virtually single-handedly. When he received his medal, the general said, "What you did was the greatest accomplishment by any soldier of all the armies of Europe." You know, there are many stories in the Bible of God helping man in difficult situations, in times of wars, in calamities, in natural disasters. And we know what we must do. God gives us the way. We must choose our path with true faith, love, and hope. God knows what is in our heart. Often the verses in the Bible speak of our earthly trials using symbols of battle. As we stand against evil in this world and try to follow his path. For example, from Ephesians chapter 6, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand therefore and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." When I was confirmed at St. Luke's Church in Racine about a century ago, actually it was a century ago, I received a gift from the church of a prayer book. And I know we still do that today, and I have it right here and use it quite often. And Bishop Halleck, who was our bishop at the time, signed it along with the other priests and deacons who were there. And he wrote Bishop Halleck, and then next to his name, he wrote down Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, which goes like this: "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power." You know, I probably didn't pay much attention at the time to that particular chapter and verse. Probably it took me years to grasp what this means. And as we read and study his word, we are encouraged to think, to ponder, and to pray, to take his message into our hearts and to truly believe in him and his grace and mercy. Today's readings have inspired me, and I hope that I have inspired you as well. The Lord is the one true and living God. He has given us everything, and with faith, hope, and love, we are called to worship him and to thank him every day. "Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his truth." Amen.